Welcome to the Life Insurance Financial Education Podcast. We're pulling back the curtain on high cash value life insurance and how it can help you build wealth and achieve your financial goals. I'm your host, James Barber, your Oregon cash flow pro.
And my name is Carlo Vaquera with NetWealth Finance.
Welcome back. Today, we're going to be talking about how to use your cash value life insurance policy for practicing infinite banking. We've been coming to you week after week talking about high cash value life insurance, whether it's whole life or IUL, why you want to build up that cash value in your life insurance, why it's a great place to store that money when it's not being deployed elsewhere. Today, we're going to talk about deploying it elsewhere. What are the things that we've seen done with it? What are the things we plan to do with it? Anything is on the table. Kick us off, Carlo. What's something that you've either used it for or you know somebody personally who has used their cash value life insurance as what we would call part of being our bank or being our own banker?
So I'll start off with my situation. The primary thing that I'm using my policies for right now has been to finance some of the repairs on my boat, you know, having a second lightning strike. So both times that I had a lightning strike, rather than selling things from my brokerage account or liquidating other assets, I might borrow from, and I did borrow from my life insurance policies in order to cover those expenses. Well, really what I was doing first, another strategy that I like to use that synergizes with this is zero interest credit cards that I then use to pay for things like repairs on my boat. And then once that zero interest intro offer expires, I just pay it off entirely with either the cash that I have or a loan from my life insurance. So I'm not paying high credit card interest. I don't ever want to pay credit card interest rates. So that's really an effective tool to really offset any interest with a zero interest offer, cover some costs, leave more stuff in my brokerage earning or whatever it might be. And then once that period ends, I put on my calendar when that zero interest period ends and I take a loan to pay it off. Or if I have just cash sitting in the bank, I'll just use the cash to pay it off. So I've done that multiple times, having two lightning strikes on my boat. That has been the case that I've done twice now. So
you kind of mentioned it, but what would have been the situation if you didn't build up the cash value in your life insurance and be able to take a loan from there? What would have been your solution to cover the repairs on the boat? What would you have had to do?
So I probably would have started with my brokerage. And it's not that I haven't touched anything in my brokerage. Sometimes between trades, I might have had cash sitting there. So I still did tap that to some extent. But I didn't want to be liquidating major positions at times that I didn't actually want to do it. But in an emergency, I might have liquidated if I really had to.
You don't have the ability to just get a margin loan against your shares?
I do have the ability to do that. I just don't prefer it. The rates right now would not have been advantageous. At one point, that would have been. But the rates would be, I think I have talked to my banker in the past about it. I think it's prime plus something. So it's not fantastic rates right now for the loans against my brokerage. But I might have done that too. That might have been another option. Or even a 401k loan could have been another option. There could have been other options, but really life insurance is the easiest and best for this circumstance in my mind.
Well, certainly a margin loan takes on risks of its own beyond the cost of taking out the loan. Many people have gotten in trouble with margin loans in the event of severe financial turbulence in the markets, causing all kinds of problems.
Yeah. And I would, if the interest rate environment was favorable, I would have probably done that first and then just ensured that I had cash to cover in the event that I needed to, and then been able to take a loan to kind of recover that cash. So that could have been another option if it was a more favorable interest rate environment when all this stuff was happening. It just didn't happen to be the case. The life insurance is just another tool in the toolkit. So there can be other places that are better at a given point, and I think that's how we like to use these policies.
A lot of people that do infinite banking, they like to talk about using life insurance loans specifically, even if they can get a better rate somewhere else. But I think you and I are both on the same page that, like, we're going to get the lowest rate we can get wherever. Doesn't really bother us to use a bank if it gets us a lower rate, as long as we have that cash available in our policy as a backstop and we can pay off these other places if we needed to. Like, if something came up, if there was a margin call, or if it was a variable rate and the rates went up higher than what we might pay for our life insurance. That sound accurate?
Absolutely. We're on the same page there. Like I've mentioned, I think I take advantage of zero interest credit card offers. I always put all of my expenses just generally on credit cards to rack up points, kind of in the points and miles game to some extent. And I just pay that off every month. So I'm also floating zero interest. You know, if you always pay off your statement balance, every month I'm floating zero interest for a period of time on all of that. I think you use a term of dynamic banking to refer to this. A lot of people might call it velocity banking, but really what we're talking about is always trying to have the lowest interest for whatever we're doing and offsetting higher interest wherever we can.
Yeah, to simplify it, I just say it's the efficient movement of capital. We have our cash flow moving in the most efficient way possible, which typically means we're offsetting higher interest rates as often as we can, and we're borrowing from lower interest rates. And our cash is otherwise invested and working for us in multiple places.
Yes, absolutely.
So my experience with the infinite banking concept and being my own banker, I've used my policy for a number of things, but most recently, I did this for a video, for a series of videos on my channel, where I took out $10,000 from one of my policies, 5% interest rate. It doesn't affect the growth in the policy. And I bought shares of a high dividend ETF, and we're going to be using the dividends from that ETF to pay off or to pay back that loan. And at the end of the period, when we get that loan paid off, we have all that money available again in our bank. The $10,000 will be back available, and I'll have 251 shares of that high income dividend paying ETF that will presumably just continue to keep paying for as long as I continue to hold it.
You know, and you doing that prompted me to get some shares of that as well. So I think that we like to take advantage of those kinds of opportunities.
So Nelson Nash, in his book, Becoming Your Own Banker, talked about using the cash value in life insurance to make business purchases, buying equipment, using that to pay it back. And there's some really good use cases for that, using our cash value life insurance, because it comes at such a lower cost than what a business might be able to get loan-wise when they're doing equipment leasing or whatever. Like, you usually don't get all that great of loan rates. You would think it might be a little bit better, but it's not. And being able to tap into life insurance could be a big money saver in that regard.
Yes, and I think that another common use case, this is not one that I'm actively doing, but if you are some kind of drop shipper or various types of online seller and you need inventory loans, that is a fantastic use, especially because oftentimes what you're getting in return of turning that inventory is a significant return. So you don't mind often. I mean, normally people doing that kind of business might be paying 10, 15% for those short-term inventory loans. And with life insurance, you can be paying, you know, 5-6%, and it's significantly better. So it's just that little bit of extra that you can do to fund that inventory.
Yeah, really comes in handy for real estate investors that I know. If you're doing fix and flips and you're relying on hard money lender, you might be paying points. You're going to be paying higher interest rates, 12 to 15%, maybe even more. Depends on who the hard money lender is. And if instead you take the time to capitalize your own bank, now you can save on those every single time you do a fix and flip. So it doesn't mean that you wouldn't do both. In fact, I had this conversation with somebody recently where if your time is limited, so like if you do fix and flips, and let's say your capacity is limited to doing like one or two or maybe even four at a time, presumably you're going to continue to grow your wealth over the decades. And if you have that stored in your bank, you've got enough stored that it can serve the needs to meeting the hard money lending needs to do one or two or three or four flips at a time. Now, if you're one of those folks who can take on as many as you can buy, you might use some of that and hard money lenders. Like it doesn't necessarily have to take the place of hard money lenders, but having that capital available might allow you to do more deals if you have the capacity.
Absolutely. And I think that's what we mentioned earlier, that we don't always use our life insurance policy. There can be times where we supplement it. And when we're talking about investing in real estate, there's been various deals that I've analyzed where I'm working with hard money lenders or DSCR loans, debt service coverage ratio loans, which is an asset-based loan. Generally speaking, the rates that are quoted are going to be around two points to close that deal. That's just 2 points right off the top of that deal. If you're looking at $500,000 property, that's a lot of money. That's a big deal that with life insurance, if you build up your infinite bank, your line of credit to be that big, you're saving $10,000 possibly just off the top, and you're probably paying a lower interest rate than you might have for that deal. So it just can be a way to increase your return or reduce your holding costs a little bit when you're doing these real estate deals.
Yeah, and another use case, paying property taxes. Using your infinite bank as a place to store your capital expense account. Rather than keeping money in a checking or savings account where it's not really going to do anything for you, you can keep that inside of your policy where it's going to be growing. And when you need it, if it's to replace a roof, maybe do some other type of repairs, maybe buy some equipment, it's there. You use it and then you refill it. You get access to it through a policy loan. And then where you would normally just set that money aside as savings, instead we pay the loan back. The cash growth in our policy doesn't get interrupted. It's still going to continue to grow and compound every single year, even though you took that loan out. And when you pay that back, it's ready again. That's why we call it the infinite banking concept. You get to do that over and over. It's this line of credit that you know you have access to whenever you need it. And all you got to do is ask the insurance company for a loan. But you don't have to justify it. You don't have to tell them why. You just tell them how much.
And it's really the primary case that we want to target is cash flowing activities, things that will give us a return of some sort. But even in Nelson Nash's book, he talks through other use cases, possibly financing, even a personal vehicle or things like that. I'll say my mother, she opened a policy with us and she used a policy loan to handle some of the closing costs and expenses that came along with her purchasing her primary residence, which in the end, she was previously renting at that time. So using some of a loan against her policy was putting her into a house and helping her to be able to close on that house. It wasn't necessarily a large chunk of it, but just there's little costs that add up. So that's certainly another scenario that people can use these policies for if they so choose.
There's just so many ways that these can be used. I'm going to finish with this one story. If you rewind to 2007, 2008, we had a massive market crash, but beyond markets, real estate values came down. People were losing their homes. Homes were getting foreclosed on. Banks were tightening up their lending. They weren't going to be loaning on new houses. HELOCs were getting closed up. So like all of this liquidity that people might normally have in a situation like that, where suddenly you've got millions of assets across this country that can be bought for pennies on the dollar, but nobody has access to money because all of their lending opportunities tightened up. But the people that had access to money or the people that had cash value in their life insurance policy or were otherwise sitting on cash, and they got to really, really make hay. During that period, they were able to go in and buy assets on the cheap. And over the next decade, man, they just exploded back in value when the markets recovered.
Yes, that's exactly it. That is when we have a place where we can store value that is shielded from those market losses. It is what gives us that ability to capitalize on generational opportunities that other people will not have if they're not doing something like this. You hear all the time from a lot of people who are in the buy term, invest the difference space that that's the only way. Well, you lose out when you do that on that ability to capitalize on those giant corrections, which are inevitable. That is inevitable that a correction is going to happen. Maybe it won't be as bad as the 2008 financial crisis, but it's inevitable that something will happen at some point. And having these policies to capitalize on that is a great tool to have in the toolkit.
They do happen fairly regularly. Corrections do. One of the things that I noticed, just emotionally, when I have a bunch of extra money in the bank, I kind of feel pressured to put it to work and to do something with it. Like, it feels like a wasted opportunity if I'm just sitting on tens of thousands of dollars in my bank account, right? And I'm sure everybody feels that way if they're in the accumulation phase like I am, where it's like, we can't grow our money quick enough. And so when we're sitting on cash, we get this urgency that it's almost stressful, where you're like, what am I going to do? I've got to put it to work. And you may end up doing something you regret. You might take extra risks that you might not otherwise want to do. But now that I have my life insurance, I put the money in there and I don't feel that pressure. It's doing something. It's buying me a death benefit. It's growing, even though it might not be at an outrageous rate. Like, I could certainly get better returns if I invest in a business, but it's doing something for me, and it takes away that pressure where I feel like I need to put it to work. And that allows me to be a better investor. I can take the time, because now if I'm analyzing investments, it's certainly got to do better than I'm already doing in my policy. If I'm going to borrow at 5% from my policy, it needs to do better than that. And I'm not going to borrow from my policy to go earn 6% in something really risky. Like, that doesn't make any sense. So just from a base level, I become a better investor, knowing that if I don't do anything with it, it's just going to keep plugging along and earning 5-6%, you know, without really me doing anything. So it was a game changer. Even still, I talk with clients and I can tell that they feel pressure to do something. And when we're first talking about establishing these policies, they're saying, what can I do to put it to work once we get it going? And I'm like, slow down. You don't have to. You're not going to feel that same pressure. In fact, there's a lot of value to being able to just sit and wait for those really, really good opportunities that come along when we get those big crashes every once in a while. So don't be afraid to capitalize your high cash value life insurance and leave that money in there, or at least leave plenty of money in there that when things come down, you can now take advantage of it.
Yes, I think that's a fantastic point, is what this does to your mental state to improve your overall ability to capitalize on opportunities, because you have the peace of mind that you know that your money is working in a safe place, a safe asset that is protected, and you can always tap to capitalize on those opportunities. I think it has made me generally a better investor. I am not going to just jump on every opportunity. Life is busy right now, and dealing with the boat situation, I've taken a bit of a step back to just focus in on what I'm doing, the primary things and activities that I'm working on, because I know that my life insurance policies, along with my other investments, I think both James and I are all about investing and even doing some trading sometimes. So these are not the only tools in our toolkit, but they are extremely useful ones to help our mental state as a general thing for how we approach investing.
I think that about wraps it up for this topic for this week. I'm sure we'll bring this up again in the future quite often, the different things that you can do with your infinite bank and the cash value in your life insurance. What do you think is a good call to action for our listeners this week?
So I want you to think about, where are you currently keeping your emergency fund? What are you doing right now that if something was to happen, some kind of market correction, do you have the funds to capitalize on that? If you don't, you might want to start thinking about that.
And I'll say there's two people that I will address a little bit differently for the call to action. One, if you don't have a high cash value life insurance policy yet, look around. Look at your expenses. Look at where you're currently borrowing funds and what you're borrowing that for. And consider, how would that look if instead you were able to borrow from an insurance company against your life insurance policy and you knew what that rate was going to be and it didn't interrupt the growth and compounding of those dollars? And then the second person is somebody who already owns the policy. You've already set it up. You stumbled across our podcast and you're always just trying to do better in being your own bank. Listen through again to the things that we mentioned. We mentioned so many different ways that you could utilize the cash value in your life insurance policy. And maybe some of those will help you. And if none of that rings a bell, you can always schedule a meeting with us and we can talk about it. That's always an option. Next week, we are going to be talking about expanding your bank, expanding your infinite bank. So be sure to join us again next week. If you're watching this on YouTube, hit that like button. Subscribe if you haven't subscribed so you can follow along with this. And if you're listening on the podcast apps, leave us a review. Tell us how we're doing. We appreciate the feedback. And we're always trying to get a little bit better here in all the things that we do. Our goal is, of course, to provide you with value. And so your feedback is important for us to be able to do that. With that, we'll see you guys next week. I'm James Barber, your Oregon Cash Flow Pro. I'm licensed across the country for life insurance and annuities. You can find me on YouTube at Oregon Cash Flow Pro.
And my name is Carlo Vaquera. You can find me at netwealthfinance.com or at netwealthfinance on YouTube. And we'll work with clients across the country as well.
Take care, and we'll see you next week.
Thanks for watching.